Loving your enemies is one of the most difficult tasks that God asks of us. It feels idealistic and unattainable. Sometimes we feel that we are not even capable of doing so, that someone has wronged us so severely that they do not deserve that love. But this is not the way that God treats us. He is merciful when we are undeserving, and he is forgiving when we are selfish. It is easy to say that we would love our enemies. It is very difficult, no matter who you are, to truly do so. Some of us may even say that we don't really have enemies. But what about those who we do love, who do not always love us back as much as we would like? Everyone can understand the feeling of putting more effort into another person than they receive. After time, it begins to feel like that person may not deserve the love that we give them. And it is in these times when we must remember God's words, "Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful, for our reward will be great from God." We are not given the power to pass judgment on who is deserving of our love. We as Christians are commanded to love all people and let God do the judging. It can feel unfair that God gives the wicked the same grace that we receive, and then we are expected to treat them with that same grace. We rarely have an issue with the grace and the kindness that God gives us, but we can feel a sense of injustice in the way that God gives that same grace and kindness to those whose lifestyle that we feel may not merit it. But I have this quote from Michael Josephson about the Golden Rule. He says that the core of the Golden Rule is a moral obligation to treat others ethically for their sake, not ours, even if it is better than the way that they treat us. Why? Not because it is advantageous, but because it is right, and because the way we treat others is not about who we are. It is not about who they are, but who we are. Our society tends to get caught up in this idea of love those who love you and don't waste your effort, your resources on those who will not appreciate and reciprocate that same effort. But in these passages, we are called to a higher standard. Jesus asks us, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same." We cannot simply return love with love and hate with hate. We must shape ourselves in the image of God and not in the image of those who would mistreat us. If we lower ourselves to the level of those that hate us, then we are allowing them to mold who we are instead of living through the words of God. Verse 35 says that God is kind to the ungrateful, just as we are called to be. To be loving without the expectation for reciprocity. This passage clears up our confusion about loving our neighbor. We no longer have to ask the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Because our answer is here. We have to treat everyone as a neighbor, even our enemies, because God's love is indiscriminate. It is without exception. The core of loving your enemies lies in forgiveness. When wronged, our first instinct is the desire for justice. But the Bible teaches us another way, a higher way, to value others and our relationships over our own agendas and desires. Some of you may remember Howard Roberts, a former pastor here. I read over a sermon that he gave on this same section of Luke, in which he defines forgiveness as the unashamed admission that the relationship is more important than begrudgment, revenge, or retaliation. It is not easy, but Jesus asks nothing of us that he himself has not done. Even as he is being nailed to the cross, Jesus prays for those who persecute him. He asks for them to be forgiven. He asks for them to come to the realization of what they have done. In the words of Dr. Howard Roberts, the way of the world calls for retaliation. Some want to do to others as they have had done to them. Love those who love them and hate those who hate them. Retaliation produces revenge, and we become captives of condemnation. Jesus spoke a lasting word that calls for a cross action that will put one crossways with the world. It is a word, an action, a way that liberates people from condemnation. Forgiveness allows us to rise to that higher standard. Grace is the only path we can take towards loving our enemies. There is the fear, however, that these passages can convey the misconception that Jesus asks us to be passive, that he is allowing ourselves to endure abusive situations. But Jesus is not calling for passivity. He is rather calling for the choice, the intentional action to not reciprocate hate. Jesus does not address the abuser in these passages. He is not excusing their behavior. He begins with, "I say to you that listen," and it is assumed that the listener is a victim. It is assumed that the abusive behavior described here is foreign to those that live under the reign of God. Turning the other cheek to one who strikes you is not weakness. It is not passivity. It is active non-retaliation that immediately brings shame to the abuser. But there is no part of this lesson that requires us to remain in a repetitively abusive situation. It is not about not taking action, but rather the intentional reaction that reflects the words of God. Martin Luther King Jr. is one of the most famous and successful advocates of this concept, who understood the true power of non-retaliation, of loving those who do not love you back. And I think he said it better than I ever could when he says that nonviolence is a powerful and just weapon which cuts without wounding and ennobles the man who wields it. It is a sword that heals. He understood that there is justice in the choice to respond to hatred with unyielding love. The examples that Jesus provides in these verses of, if someone takes your coat, give them also your shirt. If someone steals your goods, do not ask for them in return. They are meant to be shocking, to exemplify, to draw our attention to the radical love of God. Following the principles presented here is no easy task, but it is not without compensation. God may call us to give all that we have to others, not so that we will be left with nothing, but because one filled with the Spirit of Christ has nothing to lose. Jesus says, "Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." We are expected to give grace because we have been given grace. We must show mercy because we have been shown mercy. We are called to love because we are loved, endlessly and unconditionally.
I'm going to try very hard and overcome this temptation to say what she said and leave the stage. I will start by saying, in these 11 chapters that we've looked at today, they are incredibly powerful and very moving, that I would say it will be impossible to address every single message and every single point in a single Sunday service. But I hope that as I share with you all about points that stood out to me the most and realities that really made a world of difference to me, I hope you would be blessed by it as well. Here, we are introduced to the intense battle between mercy and justice that is taking place on the seat of judgment in our minds. This is a very familiar battle and probably one of the quickest battles we would ever fight in our minds, because the results and the verdicts are always seen in those split-second reactions we have once the incident occurs. Whether it's, hey, it's okay, you can have this as well, or if it's, excuse me, I'll get you back for that. Or even the most common response, where it's, don't worry, I hope you get exactly what you deserve. The truth is, they shouldn't. No one should get what they deserve. Because if they did, there would be no forgiveness. There would be no grace. There would be no salvation. In classical Jesus fashion, he brings an unconventional principle, an idea, that pierces into the minds of the congregation that are listening to him. He says that we should love our enemies, we should give to those who don't give to us, we should be good to those who are not good to us back. With this, Jesus debunks the classical notion of reciprocality. And he places in something new that almost seems unfair at the first glance. As seen in Scripture, reciprocal actions do not make us special as Christians, because sinners also do it as well. Here, our Lord calls us to a much higher standard, that if indeed we are children of God, we must act like our Father in heaven. We must be different. We must be unconventional. To be clear, this does not imply that we be passive, as such can lead to manipulation, or that we be permissive to wrongful acts being done to us. Someone may be seeking fairness or justice for something that happened to them, and you are not a victim for doing that. I only ask that you let go and let God take care of it. The vengeance is His, and He is the perfect judge. Forgiveness is a choice that is born out of will, not a decision based on our emotions at that specific time. If we react, as the word implies, we continue and repeat this cycle of hate and anger. Instead, let us act out of obedience to the word of God, and let us allow ourselves room for restoration. Forgive because you have been forgiven. Give as one who shares in the riches of God's kingdom. And love because our God is love. And as children of God, we are to love one another. As I close, I want to bring your attention to a quote I found as I read an article. And the story behind the quote is this young man by the name of Eric. He came face to face with the man who drove his vehicle into Eric's oncoming vehicle, who at the time he wasn't in the car, but in the car was his wife, who at the time was 5 months pregnant. It was an unfortunate and fatal accident. But on speaking about it and after having time to reflect on the event, Eric said some very powerful words that I hope you'd be able to be shocked as I was when I saw it the first time. He said, "Forgiven people forgive people. There are no caveats, no ifs, ands, or buts. That is the truth. It may be tough. It may seem unfair. It may even seem dangerous at the time. But it's okay, because at the end of it all, it is the truth. Thank you.